Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI reflects on Christ's message of hope. A participant in the just-ended Caritas Internationalis General Assembly talks about the work of Caritas in his own country and of its role in evangelization. Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright brings us up to date with a controversial project in Chile that foresees the construction of a series of dams in Chilean Patagonia. And Father Jim Brand brings us the next in his series of meditations on prayer and shares a personal experience he had whilst working with the very spiritual and contemplative Native Americans in South Dakota. Pope Benedict XVI on Sunday reflected on Christ's message of hope and said that through that message it is possible for humanity to know true joy. Speaking to the faithful in St. Peter's Square, gathered for the Regina Caeli, Pope Benedict drew on a passage in Acts which leads us to reflect on the Church's mission to evangelize. And he referred to saints who took hope and peace to whole cities, such as Charles Borromeo in Milan and Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Lydia O'Kane reports.
In a sunny St. Peter's Square on Sunday before the Regina Caeli, Pope Benedict took the opportunity to stress the importance of spreading the word of God. The Holy Father recalled the mission of the Church over the centuries and the figures who had been leading lights in the mission of evangelization, such as St. Charles Borromeo. But the Pope also stressed that in our world today, the vocation of the Church is evangelization towards the people who, as he put it, have not yet been irrigated by the living water of the Gospel, as well as those who, despite their ancient Christian roots, need new sap to bear new fruit and rediscover the beauty and the joy of faith. Pope Benedict gave as an example Blessed Pope John Paul II as someone who, in recent times, epitomized a great missionary and promoted the new evangelization. The Holy Father's words were in reference to the reading of the Acts of the Apostles, and especially the passage where Philip goes down to the city in Samaria to preach about the risen Christ.
E Filippo, uno dei diaconi, raggiunse una città della Samaria.
The Pope explained that the joy and healing that flourished as a result of this knowledge of the Gospel brought about a new sense of hope. Before greeting the many thousands of faithful in a number of languages, including English, Pope Benedict noted that, whilst the powerful tried to conquer new lands for political and economic reasons, the messengers of Christ went everywhere for the purpose of bringing Christ to men and men to Christ, knowing that only He can bring true freedom and eternal life. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Thanks there to Lydia O'Kane for that report. Meanwhile, Pope Benedict XVI has reaffirmed the Holy See's support for Caritas Internationalis in a private audience on Friday with Caritas delegates from around the world. 300 Caritas representatives attended the audience at the Vatican to mark the end of the Confederation's 19th General Assembly. In his discourse to participants, Pope Benedict said that in collaboration with the Church's pastors, national Caritas agencies are called to continue their vital witness to the mystery of God's healing and transforming love made manifest in Jesus Christ. The same, he said, holds true for Caritas Internationalis, which can rest assured that it will enjoy the assistance and support of the Holy See. Delegates from 165 national Caritas organizations from around the world attended the Confederation's General Assembly in Rome last week. The Assembly has re-elected Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga as president. Michel Roy was chosen as new Secretary-General, replacing Leslie-Ann Knight, who had served her four-year term. Delegates have been working on the Confederation's strategic framework for the next 4 years, one human family, zero poverty. One participant at the just-ended General Assembly is Reverend Larry J. Snyder, President of Catholic Charities USA, a member of the Caritas Internationalis umbrella organization. Reverend Snyder explained the role of Caritas in the United States to Vatican Radio and told us how important its work is, also in the field of evangelization.
In the United States, the work of Caritas is very much integrated into the work of the Church. Each diocese has its own Caritas, and we also then have a national organization, much like every other country in the world. And in that, the Church really focuses on the needs of people. Now, many people think there's not poor people in the United States, or there aren't that many poor people, but in fact, there are. There are over 40 million people that we consider living in poverty. And so we help them in a whole series of ways, from providing shelter and food, clothing, to also people with chemical addiction or those kinds of needs as well, as well as doing simply adoption and child care work. So for us, it's a very important part of evangelization, because the Church is about proclaiming the gospel. And if we proclaim the gospel, we don't always have to do that simply by talking about church teaching, but putting those teachings into practice. And that's what Caritas is all about. It gives the Church a way to really be a witness to the work of Christ still being done in the world today.
And how does the local church in the U.S. respond to the support given by Caritas Internationalis?
There is a support that comes from Caritas Internationalis to all the other Caritas agencies in the world, in that whenever there is a disaster, the coordination and communication that comes from Caritas Internationalis helps us respond together in a way that means that we are going to work for the common goal of responding to the disaster. And in that sense, Caritas Internationalis provides a very important service to all of us. And it also gives us a vehicle to talk together about principles like integral human development, which Pope Paul VI talked to us about in the encyclical, especially Populorum Progressio. So we are working together in our own ways, in our own contexts, in our own countries, but trying to put the same principles that the Church gives us into practice, and always doing so within the context of a Catholic organization, which tells us not only we are witnesses by who we are, but how we do the work that we do as well, so that every person who comes to us, and that I believe God sends to us, is treated with dignity, respect, in a way that lets them know that we are doing this because we see the image of God, the image of Christ within them, and that's why we respond with the respect that we do.
What challenges does Caritas face in your country?
Caritas, or Catholic Charities and Catholic Relief Services, as we call them in the United States, are facing many challenges as far as, I think, trying to help people see that when people are in need, they are our neighbor, as the gospel tells us, but even more, they are our brother and sister. And public policy does not always reflect that need and those priorities. So we have a challenge to really educate people so that public policy should also follow the principles that we believe of people being put first, so that we don't first of all put budgets and secondly think about people. And again, putting what the Holy Fathers have told us in this throughout this past century, that the human person needs to be at the center of everything that we do.
That was Reverend Larry J. Snyder, President of Catholic Charities USA.
Yo, 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 yo
Authorities in Chile have recently approved a $1.8 billion plan to dam two rivers in Patagonia for hydroelectricity, triggering angry protests and claims that much of the area's unspoilt wilderness will be destroyed. The Hydro Aysén project envisages five dams to tap the Baquer and Pascua rivers, an isolated area of fjords and valleys, and generate 2.75 gigawatts of power for Chile's booming economy. The government has championed the dams as vital to poverty alleviation and economic growth, but public opinion has split, with many saying the project is unnecessary and will devastate an ecological haven. The Chilean bishop Luis Infante de la Mora has also spoken out against the planned privatization of water in his country. My friend Benedictine Abbott Timothy Wright is a regular visitor to Chile. A couple of years ago he had already told me about this very controversial project, and now, just recently back from the South American nation again, he brought me up to date on the latest worrying developments. And by the way, before I begin, all the music in this programme has been especially written and composed for the Patagonia Chilena Sin Represas, the campaign for Chilean Patagonia without dams.
When I last spoke about it, the Colbún NL group, forming a particular company called Hydro Aysén, planning to develop five big dams in Patagonia, which is an area right down in southern Chile, which has one of the top five sources of fresh water in the world, and is a very remote area, very vulnerable to massive exploitation. And this scheme, which has been now running for several years, has generated a lot of local opposition. But what is interesting in my return this time, of course, is to be brought up to date on where they're at. And they're now reaching the end of the consultation period when the various organisations can submit their queries, questions, fears to official bodies who then process these questions and see whether there are satisfactory answers from the Hydro Aysén. The first thing that needs to be said is, of course, that this whole project at the moment, of course, is in two parts, and this is only part one, which is the building of the dams. Getting the electricity from the dams to Santiago or to the mines further north is a much bigger project involving a transmission line over some thousands of kilometres. And itself, the line of it, the extent of it, the size of it, of course, covers one of the most active seismic regions of the world. And the detail for that has yet to be produced. So the process is dealing with the dams as they are now, the dams in Patagonia, the consequences of these dams.
A very worrying aspect of the issue, as Father Timothy points out, is that Chilean police have arrested dozens of protesters and clashed with hundreds more, and at the same time have made quite sure the news does not hit the headlines.
During my time there, there was a coordinated series of demonstrations around various cities in Santiago, in other parts of Chile, by the group who are against the whole of this project. Significantly, thousands of people turned out in central Santiago, opposite the presidential palace, the Moneda, to demonstrate, and likewise in other big cities in and around Chile, but also, of course, in Patagonia as well. Significantly, those demonstrations received no publicity whatsoever, neither on the television or on the radio, or least of all in the newspapers, which is interesting, because in the 12 months since my last visit, the popular view of this project has changed quite significantly. When I was last there a year ago, probably over half of the population were in favour. I mean, there was probably 40-odd percent against, but nevertheless, over half were in favour. But now it has swung quite dramatically in the popular mind against the project. Well, over 60% in the latest poll are stating that they are not in favour of it, and they have huge suspicions about it.
¿Cuántas veces nos dijeron que era esencial que el agua no se niega y libre debe circular?
Having said all that, the people who are close to it, with whom I spoke, say that it's probable that the agencies, once they have taken the last lot of queries and questions and heard the replies, it's quite likely that they will approve the building of the dams. Whether that then means that it goes to the president for a decision.
Meanwhile, Father Timothy told me there has been a development on the side that could, if not turn the tables, at least offer a possible alternative way forward.
Into the scheme of things, a very interesting development over the last 12 months has been the permission by one of the mines themselves to build their own power station. It's these mines producing copper and other minerals which are the biggest consumers of this new expansion of electricity production, which is vital for the Chilean economy, of course. But they have got permission to build their own power station. And the fact of that permission has led others in senior places to say, well, if they can build it, well, why can't the others build their own as well? And we don't have to have the exploitation of the south with these long transmission lines if they can build their own power stations nearer the mines. So that is a question that hangs uncertainly in the public domain in Chile at the moment.
Solo para favorecer el negocio de unos cuantos empresarios chilenos e internacionales.
That is where they're at the moment, and wise people seem to think that the longer the delay, the more difficult it's all going to become, and politically, even if the president was to say that the dams could go ahead, the company would be assuming then that the transmission line would also be approved. Well, that has not yet been through any detailed planning. It hasn't been through any public scrutiny, with the result, therefore, that although there's a line on a map, precisely where that line is going to go has not been fixed. The size of the power lines, the size of the columns, etc., all that still has to be worked out. And the question, as I said a moment ago, of building it on a very fragile area of the Earth's crust with volcanoes and earthquakes happening not infrequently. But that's good news that it's moving forward. It's good news in the sense that there is some hope that Patagonia will be saved, simply because the popular mood is not in favour of this project, knowing now that there are other ways of doing it. Of course, Enel and Colbún Hydro Aysén will say they've put a lot of money already into the project, but one knows that money isn't the only element, and the fact of the matter is that the long-term future of this wonderful part of the world in Patagonia is of much greater importance, not just to Chile, but also to the whole world.
Environmental experts agree that the Hydro Aysén dams are a risky investment for Chile and would threaten a region of global significance. What's more, numerous studies have shown that Chile can sustainably and safely meet its energy needs through increased investments in non-conventional renewable energy and energy efficiency, with far less environmental, social and economic costs.
Violando los humedales, desolación y ceniza, y me van a encementar mis flores y hortalizas.
And just as Pope Benedict continues to reflect on prayer during his weekly general audiences, Father Jim Brand brings us his second meditation on prayer and shares a personal experience he had whilst working with the very spiritual and contemplative Native Americans in South Dakota.
Last week, I was thinking about one way of prayer that suits most people, called Lectio Divina, where we take something, a picture, or some of our Lord's words, or a photograph, or a piece of art, or music, and we enjoy it, we taste it, we touch it, we hear it, we see it. And then we meditate on it, notice it. Then we can pray about it and respond, and finally just be with it, which is contemplation. I worked for 10 summers with the Native Americans in South Dakota, who are naturally deeply contemplative, and more about them on another occasion maybe. They moved me very much. They'd asked me to give various talks. They'd all be saying, more, 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 more. And in their poverty and in their sufferings of drink and alcohol and drugs now, deep down, they're deeply contemplative. So this is one of their prayers, which really sums up what I've been saying about Lectio Divina so far. O great spirit, whose voice I hear in the winds, and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty, and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made, and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise, so that I may understand the things you have taught my people. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength, not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes. So when life fades as the fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame. Amen. These are people who are aware of God's presence. They're not pantheists, they don't see things as God, but they're aware of the breezes and the land. One night, after a sweat lodge, we were towering ourselves down under a magnificent dark night sky where you could almost touch the Milky Way in South Dakota. And we suddenly heard, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And I turned to my friend Raymond Elk Nation, a holy young guy. I said, what's that? And he looked up to the skies and said, that's the coyote. And when the coyote cries, God is pleased. Oh, how sensitive he was, he is. How they are to God's presence in all around us. We're surrounded by reasons for prayer. More of that next time. Thank you.
That's all from the English feature program today, and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we will be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programs on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English program. Laudetur Jesus Christus.